Praise the Lord. You all doing good today?
Yes.
I'm just so honored and excited to be here. I greet you in Jesus' name, and I know my normal pilgrimage to Tacoma is usually the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I was in Africa during that time, and so the church so graciously arranged for me to be out here this weekend, and just honored to greet you and delighted to see what God's doing in your midst. Praise the Lord. But God is good, and I believe we're going to have a great, great day together. As I said, I've actually been on a five-week mission assignment in the nations, doing some work in Europe, a little bit of the Middle East and Africa. We concluded with a conference in South Africa, which was broadcast live on TBN Africa, actually for the whole continent. And so it turned out to be a tremendous, tremendous open door and favor God gave us. We're excited about it, but with every assignment God gives your heart, there's always going to be resistance or hindrance or trouble or problems or things you have to spiritually manage and negotiate. And that's why I think being discerning to the Holy Ghost in the Word of God and having your heart fixed and anchored always is your final piece, because it gives you God's purposes fully to come forth. I was sharing last night with some friends when I came in to Tacoma, a little struggle that I had arriving in South Africa. My wife Heidi was with me. You know, Heidi and I, when we started in ministry 25 years ago, we lived overseas. So we did a lot of work in the Middle East and Africa. We lived in South Africa, in fact, for a period of about 4 months. And so this last trip, we were in that region seeing some of our old friends and ministering in some of these places I ministered in 25 years ago. Kind of exciting. And nobody could recognize me. They understood the glory of my new hairdo. And it's wonderful to see what the Lord does. But when I was there, I was told when I arrived in South Africa they weren't going to let me in the country because my passport was completely full. And they have a law that requires you to have two blank pages in your passport together if they're going to let you in, and put their seal and their visa and all that stuff on there. And so I flew in and from Europe and made my case to them. I did not know that was the law. And so I had a pastor and his wife from England with me traveling. And my wife was, they all got cleared through and they stopped me. And so I said, excuse me, I'm the man. Hallelujah. You got to let me come through. And they said, no, you're illegal. You're not allowed to be in our country. And so they ushered me. They finally allowed my wife to come back through to go with me. And they hauled me up to this immigration office. And there was a hallway full of people sitting there all being processed to be sent out of the country. So I met this lady who friendly wasn't part of her disposition. And she was very rough and rude and mean. And I tried to be very polite and nice and ask for mercy. She said, no mercy is available. And I tried to tell her I was a pastor, and she began to preach to me from the New Testament about honoring the government and following the laws of the land. And I said, thank you for that great teaching. She said, we're shipping you out of the nation on the next flight. We're fining the airline that brought you here $2,000 because they should have checked your passport. And there's no appeal. You're finished. And I said, thank you very much. So I went and sat in the hallway, and my wife's with me, and I'm saying, Heidi, listen, we need help. Because persuasion isn't doing anything. Being nice isn't doing anything. So I said, let's pray. So we prayed, and my heart still didn't have peace. I was troubled. So I began to plan worst case scenarios. You ever do that in your mind? You plan your defeat. And so I was planning, okay, they're gonna ship me out. And I'm calculating in my mind how much it's going to cost me. Then I'm thinking, okay, I've got these English people who have never been in South Africa. We've got to fly from Johannesburg to Durban. I've got all kinds of things set up, ministry. We go over to East London. We're doing a conference for the whole continent, broadcasting it live. I said, I got to be here. What am I going to do? And so I'm thinking about, okay, I can fly back to America, arrange things, fly back, get it. So I said, Heidi, you have to stay. This is our only hope, Heidi. You, my wife, have to stay. She said, I'm not staying. Wherever you're going, man, I'm going. I'm not hanging out no place without you. But Heidi, listen, God will be with you. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will help you. You can do it, Heidi. I will be back. You know, I will be back. I will come back. No, I'm not going. I'm not going no place. If they're shipping you out, I'm being shipped with you. I said, praise the Lord. I realized my persuasion with my own wife was not very strong. How many men have that kind of trouble? Hallelujah. I see that hand. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so I'm sitting there with my wife. I'm really depressed. I'm saying, Lord, I'm really in trouble here. Now I got to pay for my wife's way out. Got to pay for my wife's way. But then, now it's really getting costly. So I'm thinking, okay, Father, what am I going to do? So I'm sitting there waiting to be shipped out. About 30, 35 minutes pass, and I hear commotion down the end of this hallway. They have this elderly lady about 20 feet down this hallway in this wheelchair. She was shaking. She was from Italy. They're getting ready to ship her out. And they couldn't speak Italian, and she couldn't speak English. So she doesn't even know why she's hauled up there and why they're shipping her out. And she just full of fear. Suddenly, the Holy Ghost gave me a prompting and said, Keith, I sent you here. You go deliver her. I said, wow. So I said, hey, Hyde, excuse me. I got to go check something out. I didn't even tell Heidi what I was doing. Didn't want to get her involved. Didn't want to have to persuade her. Hallelujah. So I go down here. I say, excuse me. I said, my name's Keith. I said, I'm a pastor. I said, I overheard something that this woman has a fine to pay or something, and she doesn't understand you. I said, I've been sent her to help her. What does she need? She needed like $200. So I pulled out my wallet and pulled out the money. I said, I'm here to pay her bill. I got her covered. Will you take my money on her behalf so she can be cleared and go meet her family and doesn't have to be shipped back for something she doesn't understand? They looked at each other and said, I think we can do that. So I stood with the lady while they went and changed the money into their local currency. Brought it back, you know. And she looks up at me with such a look you'll never forget. She was free. She could step into her destiny or her assignment. So I thought, wow, what a seed sown. I go back and sit my wife. She said, what have you been doing? I said, Heidi, I said, God sent us here so we could rescue a woman. This is why I'm here. I said, isn't it wonderful that I can have such trouble for somebody else's benefit? It's wonderful to have misery in my own life. To help somebody through something. While I'm sitting there, about 5 minutes pass. I'm a little happier now, not fully depressed. And a man comes by. And suddenly I have a prompting, talk to the man. So as he's passing, I stood up and said, excuse me. I said, my name's Keith, I'm a pastor. I'm here to preach to your nation. I'm here to broadcast it to the continent. I've made a mistake. I've asked for mercy. I didn't have 2 pages on my passport, but there's plenty of space for the visa. Would you please advise me how I could talk to somebody to explain my case? He said, go down 3 offices down. Introduce yourself to a man there. They'll deal with you. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for your kindness. I said, Heidi, hold on. I'm going to meet somebody. I go down. I stick my head in the door. Say, no, we know you. Step out in the hallway. We'll deal with you. Yeah, step out in the hallway. I said, that's a great idea. Thank you very much. So I go sit down. And then, a few minutes later, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes later, I get a call. Keith Hershey. That's me. I'm the man. Yeah. So I come down and they said, listen, you've made a terrible, terrible error in judgment. I said, you're exactly right. I'm wrong. I'm so sorry. But we've decided that if you never do it again. They said, is 90 days enough for you? I said, 90 days is plenty. I said, I'll take 90 days. And they said, we're going to let you in for 90 days. But don't ever do this again. I said, thank you very much. Now, this woman who gave me trouble, I never could find her. She evaporated. She was a big, mean, wonderful woman. Hallelujah. But she was evaporated. And it's amazing. You know, sometimes in the trouble points of your life, you still can stay in the purposes of God if you just listen to the Holy Ghost and find somebody around you that you've been sent to deliver.
Glory.
And then you can have a breakthrough to where you need to be. Aren't you glad? Let's go have lunch. Give the Lord a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. So anyway, I'm back in the States. Glad to be here. I have one more trip next week. Not this week, but the following week to Central America, working with our teams there. By the way, let me show you a little video. You all pray for us, support the ministry as a church. Want to say thanks. Pick up a magazine this morning or tonight. They're free, of course. Pray here. But let's take a moment and let's watch this little video. This highlights what you've been doing since I was here 1 year ago. Let's watch this. This last year. So again, we want to say thanks for your love and prayer and financial support. It's a great, great blessing to be about the Father's business. By the way, in relation to family life, Heidi's doing well. She's traveling with me now all over the world. And she's blessed. She's exhausted right now from this last journey. But she's blessed about it. She's very excited. Our sons are both in college. Justin's been living in Australia this year, going to the Hillsong Leadership School. He comes home December 10th. She's very happy about that. And he wants to work now full-time in the ministry. And so he was involved in communications and video and that kind of thing. So we're excited about his help. And then my youngest son, Josh, is a sophomore at Oral Roberts University. And he's the smart one in the family. He's mathematical and scientific, and he's just like a brainy kid. So he got that from heaven. He didn't get that from me. Hallelujah. But anyway, he's a great, great kid and loves the Lord. But it's interesting, while we were on this recent trip, we got a long email. I can't preach very good, but I sure can cry great. You guys having fun? Anyway, he's a good kid. Now he's called into the ministry to preach. And I'm thinking to myself, son, you're so sharp. You know, and he was in the doc to be a medical doctor in the program. And I'm so happy he's now wants to be a preacher. I don't know why I'm crying. I've never cried about that till now. Maybe he should preach instead of me. He might have something to say. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, are y'all being edified today in this wonderful? If you have a Bible, go with me, please, to 2 John. Let's stop talking about missions. Let's stop talking about nations. Let's stop talking about my kids so I can stop crying. 2 some great stories tonight. I won't cry tonight. Just not a lot. Hallelujah. 2 John, y'all there? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us and helping us in life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me not cry continually. Hallelujah. Bless our fellowship. Thank you for a living word. Let every heart find help and hope this day. Thank you for your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Father, fix people today. Let people not be so hard on themselves. Fix people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 2 John, this is a cool little book. I'm not going to preach on it, but let me just share a verse or two. Verse 7, it says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming into the flesh." This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know, there's a lot of people that want to water down what you believe. They want to talk you out of truth. They want to make you vacillate on the authority of the scripture or whatever it is. And they're deceivers and they're antichrist forces. You know, the term Christ means anointing. Anti means against. Antichrist means against the anointing. There's many forces in this earth today that are against anointing expression. That's why even in our culture today, nobody likes to talk about Christmas as a Jesus thing. There's an anti-anointing influence that's very prominent in our culture, but it influences more than that. It influences us personally. There's all kinds of influences that come into your mind, come into your worldview, that try to minimize the anointing of God in your life. See, once you and I became believers in Jesus, we became receivers of the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says we're sealed with the Spirit of promise. And so whether you like it or not, or whether you know it or not, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are anointed. The anointing of God, the Spirit of God lives in you. Most Christian people today don't understand the authority they can have in this life and in their world, you know, with the expression of the Holy Spirit or the anointing of God having strong influence in them. So there's elements that are always rising up to minimize your spiritual strength, your spiritual stamina. And it's very important that we know how to stand strong against these anti-anointing, anti-Christ forces that take away your spiritual stamina. You know, people who don't have spiritual strength are always in trouble because they don't know what they believe, they don't know how to stand for what they believe, and they don't know how to initiate the authority of the Spirit, whether it's in their home life or in their financial life or within context of the covenant of God. We have to know that we are anointed by the Holy Spirit, and even though there's forces to try to stop the flow of the Spirit in our lives, we have to be strong. Look at it goes on to say in verse 8. Look to yourselves that you do not lose the things you work for. Look to yourselves that you do not lose the things you work for. It's possible, if you don't know how to steward the anointing of God in your life, that you can lose what you've gained in God. You know, I meet people all the time who used to be on fire for Jesus. Man, they had fallen in love with Jesus. They were excited about who they were in Christ, but antichrist forces kept, you know, plugging up the well, as it were, stopping the flow of the Spirit. And now today, they're either casual Christians or nominal Christians or Christless. What I mean, they don't even believe anymore. I meet people like this all the time that I used to remember full of the Spirit, full of the anointing of God, but something kept whittling away at their world and in their life, and somehow these circumstances overwhelmed them, and they did not know how to steward the anointing of God in their life. They lost the flow of the Spirit. They lost the flow of the anointing of God. Go with me back a page or two to 1 John chapter 2. Let's look at a couple verses here. It says in verse 18 of 1 John chapter 2, "Little children, it is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming..." And that's what usually people focus on when they talk about the Antichrist that's coming. Yet, you know, some individual is going to be revealed in the last days, the Antichrist before Jesus comes again. And all that is true and all. But look at it goes on to say, "But even now," everybody say even now. "Even now, many Antichrist have come, by which we know it is the last hour. There's many antichrist forces or influences in the world today, and we have to know how to guard our hearts so we stay in the flow of the Spirit. So we stay in the flow of the anointing, and don't let the flow be bottled up or stopped up, but stay strong in the Spirit of God. Look at it. It says a couple verses later, down in verse 22, the Scripture says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist and denies the Father and the Son. Look down a couple more verses down in verse 20. That's the verse I want. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing. See, as believers, we have to focus on the fact, if we believe in Jesus Christ, if we receive the Spirit of promise, we are anointed. We have to steward the work of the Spirit in our lives so we don't lose the things we've gained or lose the things we work for. It goes down to say in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. One of the things I'm really reminding myself of in recent months is to refresh the reality of Christ in me, the hope of glory. You and I are loaded with the anointing of God, and the anointing of God is sufficient for everything you need in life. The anointing of God is the solution portion with the promises of God to fix any detail or circumstance of your life. We have to understand that there's forces in our world to stop the flow of the anointing, but we have to know what to do when that happens. Let me explain what I mean by sharing a little story with you. Go with me in your Bible to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. You know, even in Jesus' life, when He went public with His anointing in His ministry, in Luke chapter 4, and He stood up in church, remember, He found the place where it was written in Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me." Now, everybody doesn't get excited about anointed expression. The world doesn't understand it. Even religious people don't understand it. And so after Jesus announced that the anointing is now available for the human race, He wasn't celebrated. He wasn't even tolerated. He was almost tormented. They took Him outside to a cliff to cast Him headlong. Their antichrist forces always want to stop the flow of what God's doing in you. I believe with all my heart, when I was in Africa, I was on an assignment by the Spirit of God. And I believe there were antichrist forces to find some little loophole to stop the flow or the expression of the Word of God, what God gave us a great favor with for the whole continent of Africa. And so I believe in our lives, whether it's in your marriage, in your financial life, in your physical well-being, there's always forces that come against you to stop the flow of the Spirit of God or the expression or the strength of God in your lives. That's why I love when Paul taught the church of Ephesus how to pray, or he prayed for them. He prayed that they'd be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. See, your spiritual strength is tied to your anointing. Now, if you feel weak today, if you feel like lethargic, if you feel in your spiritual life or your natural life like you're just running out of gas, like you can't make sense of it all, well, maybe, just maybe, your anointing is under attack. Maybe there's antichrist forces that have a strategy against your life or against your home or against your world to stop the flow of the Spirit of God, because it's in the strength of the anointing that you can stand strong and the promises can prevail. It's very important that you know how to deal with antichrist forces, because they visit all of us. And usually they visit us from close proximity. You don't have to, fly around the world or have problems in countries like I have to know that there's a devil that hates your guts. All you got to do is get up, you know what I mean? And wake up every day, and in our own environments, of our own families, God uses the people closest to us to get on our nerves the most. I'm preaching good now. Hallelujah. It's really true. The devil uses people in our environment, whether it's our work environment, our home environment, our kids, our spouse, whatever, to bring a turbulence in our world that we have to know how to discern and with spiritual judgment, understand how to move forward so we don't stop the flow of the Spirit. You know, Jesus talked that the Spirit's it's like a water force. It's a river. You know, it flows. And we got to keep the flow of the anointing, not allowing it to be dammed up or clogged up by forces in the world that want to stop it. Look at it says here. This is kind of interesting in Judges 16. Talking about this gentleman named Samson. Now, if you read the couple chapters before this, you know, chapter 13, 14, 15, you'll find that this character, Samson, was an interesting guy. He was dedicated to God in his mother's womb. His mother attached him to anointing while he was inside. He had a Nazirite vow. His Nazirite vow required him to do certain things that connected him to spiritual strength or anointing. If you use those concepts of spiritual strength or spiritual stamina, and anointing or anointing of the Spirit is in like fashion, they're connected. If you don't have spiritual strength, if you don't have physical strength, your anointing has been minimized. You are in a position where the flow has somehow been stopped. And you got to know there's Antichrist forces in the earth now. And they want to mess you up where you lose everything God gave you. You lose everything you've ever worked for. And you got to know how to rightly discern this thing in your environment and manage it from the Spirit of the Lord to have breakthrough. So you read his life. You know, poor old Samson. He had struggles making decisions with women. He never seemed to have good judgment with women. You read his story. The brother was a bit bizarre. Yeah, he went around the block a few times with all kinds of scenarios, you know. But every time God seemingly had mercy on him, because when he finally got married to Delilah, and she was different. She wasn't a covenant connected person, and so she was the influence that minimized his strength with her words. But every time the enemy would rise up, the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord come upon him. The anointing of God would come upon Samson. He'd beat the daylights out of people, right? He'd always defeat the enemy. But this is what's interesting to me. There came a time where after you have so many Antichrist attacks, and if you don't manage them with adjustments in your spiritual life, they can become effective. Look at here. In Judges 16, verse 16, the Bible says it came to pass when she, that's Delilah, pestered him daily. Everybody say daily. With her words. You know, most anti-Christ attacks come against you with words. Sometimes it's with the words of people who are closest to you. And that's why it's very important that you have the right friendships and relationships. You know, you need to find people in your life that validate the work of the Spirit in your life, not show you everything that's wrong with you. And sometimes, even to ourselves, we pester ourselves daily with our own words. Sometimes we're very good at minimizing ourselves and being harsh and hard on ourselves and looking at ourselves with a natural eye, not looking at ourselves through the eye of the Spirit or through the eye of the Word of God. And so she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. You know, most people that lose the flow of the Spirit or the strength of God in their life, they're usually first attacked in the realm of their soul. They're emotional. If you're emotionally a yo-yo, if you're up and down, you're probably subject periodically that you've been, receptive to voices that are anti-Christ in nature. They're trying to minimize who you are in Christ. You know, that's why I usually have a practice of preaching to myself. If you don't become your own favorite preacher, you'll always live a life of trouble. What I mean by that is you've got to announce to yourself every day, you've got to look in the mirror somehow until you're absolutely walking in the realm of the Spirit in a wonderful way. You've got to look in the mirror and say, hey, you listen up. You're good looking for one thing, but let me tell you something else. You are anointed. according to 1 John chapter 2. The Spirit of God lives in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You have spiritual strength in the inner man. You walk by faith, not by... You've got to become your own favorite preacher, because you're not going to go to work and hear that. You're not going to be in where your daily routine of living is and be validated in your life from a spiritual perspective. If you don't give yourself a voice, you will not have one. You've got to decree to yourself, listen up, you are anointed of the Spirit of God, and you have spiritual stamina, spiritual strength, spiritual discernment this day in Jesus' name for right decisions. You got to be strong with yourself. Otherwise, the forces in this earth are going to make you want to crash. And let me show you, I can show you symptoms or signs if you're spiritually under attack. Because it will affect your physical life. She pestered him daily with words until his soul was vexed unto death. Have you ever just wanted to die? I have. I've had that thought. You're like, man, let's just go on to glory. Huh? Did you ever just think like, man, how much more can I put? None of you have had that thought. You are so wonderful. You are fantastic in every way. No, but here's the thing. See, there's a lot of people who have all kinds of pressure where you just want to give up. You want to give up on the marriage. You want to give up on the church. You want to give up on loving God. You want to give up on doing anything for anybody else. You just want to live and let live, huh? But I tell you what, you've got to guard your heart. His soul was vexed unto death. So he told all that was in his heart. Look at verse 17. And he explained that his anointing was connected to a Nazirite vow. See, when you're anointed, there's things that connect you to that anointing for that anointing to have a flow or an expression. And so he explained part of the anointing connectors in his life was his hair. His hair wasn't to be shaven or cut. So when he unloaded his heart to a deceptive woman who was nagging him, it cost him spiritual strength and stamina. Antichrist, anti-anointing forces began to operate. And so it says she lulled him to sleep, on her lap. And she began to torment him again with her words. Verse 19. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And then she began to torment him. That's what Antichrist forces do. If you feel you've just been tormented, if your soul and your emotions have been tormented, you're under attack. It's anti-anointing forces, because they don't want the flow of the Spirit to manifest fully in your life so the promises of God you're believing can be received in your natural realm. She said to him in verse 20, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before. I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." Wow, that's a great confession of faith. Some people who are under great attack, Antichrist attack, have great confessions. Great confessions. But look at the next phrase. I think it's one of the saddest phrases in all of Scripture. But he did not know that the Lord, or the anointing, or his spiritual strength had departed from him. Let me ask you this. When you're under pressure, are you confident you have the strength of the Spirit to work on your behalf? It's so important. Otherwise, you may be under attack, and you have to recognize it so we can fix it. I'm going to show you how you can fix it. Look at the next verse says, because this is what happens to people who become under attack, spiritual attack, from the enemy. The Bible says this in verse 21. Then the Philistines, or the Antichrist forces, they took him, they put out his eyes, they brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Let me show you 4 things that can happen in your life or my life to tell us if our lives are under attack, where we need to change something. Number one, when you lose vision, they put out his eyes. People who have no vision for their life, for their family, for their kids, for their world, for their church, for their future, you're under attack. One of the greatest things for me in life is to maintain vision and to carry it. I had a pastor friend call me, Pastor Jan Fora. I went on this most recent 5-week mission assignment. He said, "Keith, I'm doing leadership training for our leaders. I want what is one thing that I could tell them that you say is the hardest thing or the most needful thing for a leader to do?" And I thought for a minute. I thought, well, to carry vision. Sometimes I can get vision, but to carry it, because it has to be transferable, is very challenging for me. And that was probably the thing that was in my spirit at that time. Just that whole concept of having vision for my life, for my world, for my calling, for my future. See, we're getting ready to step into a new year. What do you think about it? Where's your life heading? If you can't see, if you're spiritually blinded to opportunities, then it's a sign your anointing is under attack. There's antichrist forces sent to minimize who you are. The second thing I think is interesting here is antichrist forces always bring you down. They brought him down. Of course, this is talking about a geographical location to Gaza, which is now part of the whole Israel-Palestine area. This is an area where they're fighting over land and territory. But they brought him down. The second thing is, if in your life you're always minimizing yourself, or everybody around you is minimizing you or devaluing you, you're under attack. See, there's a lot of people today that don't think much about themselves. They don't know who they are in Christ, and they don't know how to back it up by the Spirit, because the antichrist forces have stopped the flow or the strength of God in their lives, and they just have head knowledge about some truth, but it's not validated by the Holy Ghost. You've got to come to a place where if you've been brought down or you feel like your whole life is deteriorating, you're under attack. Now, here's the deal. Don't be mad at yourself if you're under attack. We're all in the same world. Recognize it, because I can show you from the Word of God how you fix it. It'll absolutely stir your spirit. The third element or way you know if you're under attack is when you feel bound. Look at this. He was bound. He was bound. In other words, if your life has no momentum, if there's no movement, you know, there's some people just kind of live, but there's no momentum in their life, spiritually or naturally, it, to me, is a sign I'm under spiritual attack. To take my strength, to zap my energy. You know, when I came back from this trip, I've been home this last 4 or 5 days, I just felt so in the natural. You know, like my whole world was under attack. And I had to fight through it. I'm going to show you what God helped me do and what you can do in your life so you don't feel bound. Where you can get the joy of the Lord and have spiritual momentum in the vision so you can go and do what God wants you to do. The fourth thing is this. He became a grinder. When life is a grind, you're under attack. Has life ever just been a grind to anybody here? I mean, just life is a grind, you know. When life is a grind, it shows that you're under antichrist force attack or assignments in your life. And you've got to make a decision with these four things. When you lose vision, when you feel like you're brought down, when you're bound, or when life becomes a grind. When you're just getting by. Life's just a grind. Your life's under attack. See, I don't believe Jesus called us into His family for us to be miserable. I don't think that we're supposed to walk with Jesus and fellowship with Jesus and be visionless. I don't think we're to walk with Jesus and be bound. I don't think we're to ever walk with Jesus and be in His family and feel low or minimized or brought down or feel like we're useless or worthless. And I don't think if we're walking with Jesus that life should ever be a grind. Life should be a joy, and it should be daily. So that really explains the problem. The antichrist forces kept coming into his life. It finally battered him. Until it had him. But now here's the good news. Look at the next phrase. Verse 22 says this. However, everybody say however. Thank God for the howevers of the Bible. Or thank God for the buts of the Bible. You know what I mean? Where you know, they explain something and then but God, you know. However, look at the Bible says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again. However, the hair of his head began to grow again. However, the hair of his head began to grow again. I want to show you in your life, no matter what's gone wrong this year, no matter what's gone wrong last week, no matter how low you think you are, no matter how visionless you think you are, no matter how bound you think you are, no matter how life is such a grind, I want to show you how you can regrow the things that attach you to anointing. You know, I really believe, think about this, when Peter fell in ministry and denied the Lord, then he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was the one who had a spiritual strength and began to announce Jesus as Lord. And people by the thousands would come to Jesus. But you know what Jesus told Peter one time? He said, when you've been converted, when Jesus prophesied it to him, what's going to happen to him, says, when you've been converted, you go and you strengthen the brethren. I think one of my little assignments in life right now, you know, I just turned 50. 2 months ago. I know I don't look a day over about 49 and a half, but I am 50 now. And here's the thing. I think my new little assignment in life is to reattach people to their anointing, to strengthen the brethren. Because your spiritual strength, your physical strength is tied in, it's in correlation to the anointed flow that's in your life. See, a lot of us are connected to the anointing, but we're not flowing in it. It's like there's a kink in the hose. You ever hear the example, you know, you got your hose on, you're watering your flowers or something, and then there's a kink in the hose. And it stops the flow. You go back, this thing's got to be on. It's on, but there's a kink in the hose. It stops the flow. Antichrist forces stop the flow. You're still saved. You're still full of the Holy Ghost. But there's something bottled up, the flow or the strength or the force of your life. You and I have to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the forces or the issues of life. We have to understand that when we're under attack, if you recognize it, however, the hair of your head can grow again. This, in Samson's case, is an element that reattached him to anointing. I think what the Spirit of God is saying, no matter what kind of trouble you're in, no matter how visionless you seem to be, no matter how brought down and how low and dirty you feel, no matter how bound your life seems to be, no matter if life is a grind, I can announce to you in Jesus' name, the hair of your head can grow again. We can reattach you to the things that give you spiritual stamina, that give you spiritual strength so God can break through. Do you realize, in Samson's life, in fact, I'm not going to preach it this morning because I'm going to preach it tonight. I'm going to show you how in Samson's life, the end of his life was greater than everything he did in the beginning of his life. You know, I believe with all my heart, your best days are ahead of you. You say, well, Keith, I don't know. You know, I've made so many mistakes. I've been through this. I just did this wrong. This failed. This marriage failed. This happened. This whatever. Don't be so hard on yourself. Come to a place with a believing heart. Let's reattach you to the anointing of God. Let's grow again the things that attach you to your anointing. Because when you're reattached, you can be in the flow of the Spirit and God's purposes can prevail. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
To me, this is good news. However, the hair of his head began to grow again. Go with me, if you would, back in your Bible to where we started there in 2 John. And then I want to close again, verse 7, many deceivers have gone out in the world. They don't confess Jesus is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. What I've tried to do this morning is just put you in a place where you can take inventory and ask yourself questions. Do I have vision for my life? Or am I just living? Am I bound? Do I feel brought down? Is life a grind? You know, these are hard questions to answer publicly. That's why we don't have to answer them publicly. But see, if I'm honest with you and I ask myself those questions periodically, it's healthy. Because it shows me if I'm connected. If the anointing of God's flowing through me, if Keith's living a God-sufficient life or a self-sufficient life. Every time I live a self-sufficient life or do anything self-initiated, it fails. And it brings misery to everybody around me. But every time my sufficiency is of God or I have spiritual stamina and strength, there's joy. There's joy and peace in everything I'm doing. So what I'm doing at this year end, in fact, I've been fasting this week. I broke my fast last night because I came to Seattle. And I'm not fasting today, so I do want lunch. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. I am going back. I told my wife, I'm going back on my fast tomorrow. But here's the thing. I just always ask myself these kind of questions. They're healthy for me. And you know what I'm going to do this week? Is I'm going to reattach myself. What I'm going to do this week is what I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'm going to show you how it's done. It is absolutely so stirring for your spirit. Because whatever you think went wrong, whatever you think was a failure, whatever you think was lost, I'll show you how it's all restorable. It's wonderful. I said it's wonderful. Amen. However, the hair of his head began to grow again. I want you to know that you can reattach yourself to spiritual strength and spiritual stamina no matter how twisted the hose is in your life. No matter how the devil has come in and blocked everything and you just don't know if what God called you to do is ever going to come to pass. I want to show you from the Word of God, from this story and from New Testament examples, how you reattach yourself to your anointing. Because it's now part of my calling. I'm strengthening the brethren. I'm going to reattach people to their spiritual stamina so the will of God can be done. Amen. Did you all enjoy the Word today? Go ahead, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I know God's going to work in your life. And tonight, if you come out 6:30, we're going to have a great, great time. I'm going to have time for a lot of personal ministry. I'm going to turn the service back over here to Pastor Jim. But first, let's just pray together. Can we do that? Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, we do love you. Thank you, Father, for the morning. Thank you for the worship. Thank you that we can sing, "How Great is Our God." Father, we just really, really do worship you. We understand Jesus is Lord. He's Lord of all. Jesus, you're Lord of our spirit. You're Lord of our soul. You're Lord of our body. We say by faith, we're not nervous about nothing. Father God, we realize we live in a world that's anti-Christ. It's against the anointing. It's against the declaration of Jesus as Lord. It's against, Father, what the Word of God stands for. But Father, we're in the kingdom of God. And Father, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you that the kingdom of God in us is the great influence. It's the great force. And Father, we thank you for the life of the Holy Spirit that lives and resides in us. We thank you that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We thank you that we are anointed by the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you we have spiritual strength. We have spiritual stamina. We do have vision. Father, we're not going to feel bound. We're not going to feel low and brought down and dirty. And Father, we're going to have momentum in our lives spiritually. And Father, I thank you life never needs to be a grind. Lord God, I ask that as the Word is just settling in on people's lives today, that they'll position themselves to come and hear and understand how they can reattach themselves to everything you've called them to do and everything you've called them to be. Father, we love you. We bless you for loving us and helping us this day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you one quick question. How many of you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. You all born again. How many of you say, "Keith, I'm visiting or I've come before, but I'm not right with God. I need to reconnect. Something's wrong. I've not been living right. I don't have the work of the Spirit in my life. I want to make sure my sin is forgiven. I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. I need to make a public commitment to rededicate my life to Jesus or be born again for the first time." Anybody at all on the count of three? One, two, three. Anybody at all? Just would say, "Keith, I want that kind of prayer." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Because we want always to give people an opportunity to make Jesus as Lord. And that, if that is you, man, I'm going to hang out after the service. You come talk with me. Let me pray with you and just help you get established in the kingdom of God. But hey, we love you very, very much. And sorry I cried for my first third of the message. But I'm fully out of tears, at least momentarily. I will fill them up a little later. Hey, get our magazine. It's back in the back. Also, I got my newest book back there. It's called God is Looking for Perfect People. You like this? I taught this here a couple years ago, I think. It's a great, great teaching on spiritual growth and maturity. I always tell people, when you grow up, God will show up. That's His promise. So you like this. Jesus said, therefore you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So you like that. It's normally $10. Today it's $5, so it's a great stocking stuffer if you want one for something. Also, some of the teaching I'm starting to do, Are You in the Flow? That's back there, as well as some other teachings, and they're discounted as well. Love you guys. Thanks for letting me share. Praise the Lord.